chapter number 11 this morning. Hebrews chapter number 11. Somebody said that the guy was got up one morning and he asked his wife to make him a pot of coffee. And his wife said, I don't have to make you coffee. And he said, are you trying to start an argument? She said, no, I'm just trying to be biblical. And she said, he said, honey, what are you talking about? And she said, well, the Bible said Hebrews. Amen. Hebrews. Amen. Y'all get it in a minute. Y'all catch on. Hebrews. Not Shebrews, Hebrews. Amen. But anyway, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. I want you to call your attention. We'll start out reading verse number 1 in Hebrews chapter number 11. Thank God for the good spirit. Thank God for the good singing. Thank God for everybody that's here this morning. We're missing several out of town and sick and different things going on, but still a good crowd. And we're excited about what the Lord's doing here at New Hope Baptist Church. But Hebrews chapter number 11, let's look at verse number 1. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. But by faith, he said in verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, I need you. And God, I pray these people need you, Lord. I realize we're all needy people, and we stand, Lord, where no doubt the arm of flesh and self would fail and probably will without you. And God, I pray in Jesus' name that, Lord, you'd touch me this morning. I pray, God, you'd fill me with your spirit. Lord, I pray you'd help me to deliver, Lord, the message that you put in my heart, Lord, from your word to these people. Lord, they come, Lord, not just to be entertained and not just to socialize, but, Lord, I pray they come to hear from heaven this morning. And I pray, God, that we do just that. Lord, I pray you'd speak to us. Holy Ghost, have your will and way. I pray if there be anybody here this morning that's lost and they need the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray today, Lord, they'd be introduced to him. And I pray, God, in Jesus' name, you'd encourage Christians, God, that are weary, maybe discouraged and wayward. Lord, I pray you'd help us. Lord, I pray you'd be with us and have your will and way in all that's said and done. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. He said here in verse number 1, the writer, I believe it was Apostle Paul, most likely. We're not exactly sure. Doesn't really matter. God inspired it, and it's the Bible. Amen. But in verse 1, he said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. He said it's the evidence of things not seen. Now, he's not necessarily giving us a definition as much as he's giving us a description of what faith is. He said faith is the substance. That is, faith is what supports your belief. It is the foundation. It is, let's say this, faith is the confidence of things that are hoped for. And he said it's the evidence or the supreme conviction of things that are not seen. He's talking about faith. And then he goes on and he talks about how the elders obtained a good report. He gives us a couple of examples there in Abel and in Enoch. And then in verse 6, he said, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. And so for a little while, I want to preach on this thought of the possibility of pleasing God. The possibility of pleasing him. Or you might title it this, faith that pleases God. I know we serve and we talk about God. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's a perfect God. And you think about God, the God of the universe, that in him there is no wrong. There's no vile. There's no sin. There's nothing wrong. Not one bit, not one iota of wickedness or sinfulness within our God. And you say, how in the world am I going to please a God like that? How in the world would I, a human that's depraved, that I'm weak, I'm sinful, I'm prone to wander, prone to stray, even prone to leave and to stray from the God I love, how am I going to please a God that's perfect? Well, I can tell you one thing it's going to take faith.
The Bible said here in Hebrews chapter number 11, he said in verse number 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. So I'm interested in that phrase that he says, he that cometh to God, he that cometh to God. I'm glad you can come to God, amen. I'm glad he left the door open. I'm glad Jesus is the door, amen. I'm glad the door's not shut, amen. I'm glad the door's not locked. I'm glad the door at Calvary, the door was open that whosoever will may come. Amen. I'm glad the door is open. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, if you don't know God Almighty, you can come this morning. The door is open for you. I'm glad there is a way to come. And he said, he that cometh. So let's look at that person that comes. What must he do to please God? What must I do to please God? And how can I? Well, you say, what is faith? Well, he said in verse 1, he told us what faith is. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the conviction and the confidence that you have in God. Faith, somebody said like this, faith is taking God's word in spite of all the circumstances. And faith is taking God's word in spite of all the consequences. Amen. You hear the word of God, you read the word of God, you get a word from God, and then you obey it, and you do what he has said do. What's the Bible say in Romans 10:17? Now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You hear the word of God, and then you obey it. And as you obey it, you are displaying your faith in God. And you obey him. You place your faith and your trust, your confidence in him, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what anybody else says, no matter what's going on around you, you obey God. Amen. You have faith in God, and you obey him in spite of the circumstances and even in spite of the consequences. We're going to see here in a minute in Hebrews chapter number 11. Hey, the consequences may not seem favorable. Hey, when you're being sawed asunder, when you're being torn apart, when you're being, thrown in a den of lions. Hey, but faith trusts God in spite of the consequences. And that's what faith is. Faith is the persuasion or the conviction of truth. It is a reliance upon a belief and an assurance that what God says is right and obeying God. Somebody said this, faith enables us to understand what God is going to do and what he's doing. Faith enables us to do that. Hey, faith enables us to see what others do not see. Can I say if you're a person of faith that you trust God and you walk with God and you, take what he says and you obey him. Hey, many times the people in the natural realm, they don't see what you see, but you see by the eye of faith, you see what God wants to do. Faith enables us to see what others do not see. Faith will enable you to do what others will never do. There's a lot of people that'll sit around and dream and wish. They'll sit around and have starry-eyed, imaginations, and they'll think about what could happen. But without faith, they'll never step out and do it. Are you with me this morning? Hey, there's a lot of churches that'll never do anything for God because they're not willing to step out by faith and trust God. There's a lot of people that God has called, to do ministry and to work in his service, and they'll never do what God wants to do. They'll never experience those blessings. They'll never know the joy, that they could know because they're not willing to display faith and step out and say, God, I don't see how. I know I can't. But God, I know you can. So I'm stepping out into the unknown. I'm stepping out into the untouched. I'm stepping out into the undoable. And I'm trusting the God of heaven to do what I can't do through me. Amen. There's a lot of people that will never know the joy. They'll never know the peace of what could happen until they step out in faith. Let me say it like this. Faith enables you to please God. Faith will enable you to please God. And I want to say a few things about faith this morning. I want to help us this morning with the Lord's help. J. Oswald Sanders, I got a quote from him. He said this. He said, faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as the present and to treat the invisible as the seen. So you think about what he's saying there, and what he's saying is right. It is faith that allows you to look into the future by the eye of faith and see, look at us, Sam. I'm going to just help y'all out this morning. I've got a future sight of New Hope Baptist Church, and it's not this. I'm happy right now. I'm excited about what's going on. But years down the road, the eye of faith said God's got a whole lot more in store, amen. The eye of faith said God's got plans for it. The eye of faith says, we're not going to get stuck in a rut and be happy with the status quo. But the eye of faith says we're going to step out and we're going to reach souls and we're going to spread the gospel. And people's going to be saved and homes are going to be rebuilt and people's going to be restored. And homes are going to be helped and people's going to be restored. Amen.
I'm talking about the eye of faith. Hey, you don't see it right now, but the eye of faith will allow you to see it. If you get a glimpse of what God wants to do, the eye of faith will show you some things. And not only the future that you can see now, but the things that you can't see, that nobody else sees. I'm telling you, hey, the eye of faith will allow you to take the invisible, the things that maybe nobody even knows about. God's eye of faith will allow you to see them. But let me say something about this, please. Because, see, I'm going to say this. There's a lot of people that have got faith. I mean, honestly, goodness, I mean, the Muslims got faith. You, help me out now. You don't take an airliner and fly it into a side of a concrete building and not have faith. And them fellas thought that it was going to be 70 virgins waiting for them. They had faith, but it was misguided and misplaced faith. Are you with me? So what kind of faith is it that pleases God? Man, there's a lot of people that's got a lot of faith. There's people that's got faith in the stock market. I mean, they're fools. Just to put it nicely, they're crazy. There's people that's got faith in a lot of financial institutions and things like of that nature. But I'm going to say, what is it about the faith that we need to have that's pleasing to God? What must I believe in order to come to God in a way that's pleasing, in a manner that's going to please Him? And God's going to say, I'm pleased with that person. I'm pleased with the way they come to me. He said, he that cometh to God, watch what he said in verse number 6. He said, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now, he said in the first part of that verse, he said it's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He didn't say it was impossible to please God. Are y'all with me? It's possible to please God, but if you're going to please God, you're going to have to come to God in a manner that He says is pleasing to Him. Are y'all with me? And that's exactly what He said. He said, there in that middle part of that verse, He said, for he that cometh to God must believe, number one, that He is. You must believe that He is. Let me say this right quick. You must believe, number one, that He's real. He's real. He's real. God is not some figment of your imagination. He's not some pie in the sky idea. He's not something that somebody dreamed around and thought of. Hey, God is real. God's real, amen. He's the Spirit in John 4:24. God is the Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's a spiritual God. Hey, but He's a real God. Amen. And that spiritual God was manifest in a human body over in Luke chapter number 2. When Jesus Christ humbled Himself and came to this earth, wrapped Himself, we call it the incarnation, and He became man. Amen. He's always been God, but at the incarnation He became man so that you and I could see Him. We could witness Him. We could touch Him, handle Him, hear Him. Are y'all with me? Hey, God's real this morning. I want to say some things about Him being real. Number one, I want you to see this right here in this text. He's real in the fact that He is self-existent. He is real, self-existent God. You say, what do you mean? He said, watch this. He must believe that He, what's the next word? Is. He said He must believe, he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Y'all see that? He didn't say that He was. Years ago, somebody wrote a book talking about how God was dead. Let me say this to y'all young people this morning. God's not dead. I want to help y'all. God is not dead. God, the God that the Bible talks about here in the New Testament of the book of Hebrews is the God of the Old Testament over there. When Moses asked God, he said, who am I going to tell the Israelite? Who am I going to tell that Jewish now? Who am I going to tell them sent me down here to deliver you, from Egypt, from Pharaoh's hand? He said, you tell them that I am sent you. Hey, the I am. He didn't say the I was or the I'm going to be. He said, I'm the God of the right now, smack dab, the I am, amen. He's the self-existent one. He don't need you to be what He is, amen. God is God, regardless of you and I. God is God regardless of the government. He's God regardless of what's going on around us. God is a self-existent God, amen. He don't need anybody else, in order for Him to be what He is, amen. God is God. And before the creation of the universe, before God ever said, let there be, and there was, before that, God existed by Himself. Amen. And He didn't need anybody else to let Him exist or to enable Him to exist. He's a self-existing God. And if you and I were to go off the face of the earth today, God is still God. He is the self-existing God. He needs no other. He's the great I am. Amen. I like that. He's the great I am. I could preach right there for about 2 or 3 hours, but y'all probably be going on eating chicken and I'm going to go with you. Amen. But He's the great I am.
He's the self-existent God. Hey, but let me say not only this. If you flip back to chapter number 1, you'll see this, that he's the sure essence of God. Sure essence in chapter 1, verse number 3, he says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. That is that Jesus Christ, when he was manifest as God on this earth, he is the exact image of what God Almighty is. You say, what is he, man? I'll tell you what, he's holy. He's righteous. He's altogether lovely. Hey, man, hey, what? When you see Jesus, you see the express image. That is the sure essence. That is that when we talk about Jesus being God, there's a God the Father, there's a God the Son, and there's God the Holy Ghost. But they are all equal. We talk about co-equal. Hey, Jesus is God. Jesus said in John chapter number 10, I and my Father are one. Now, he wasn't talking about one person. Hey, one God. We are the same God made up of three persons. He said, I'm the same. Hey, God is a sure essence. Hey, there's no doubt what Jesus is. Hey, John 1:1. Hey, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. Jesus is God. Amen. Hey, if you want to see what God looks like, get a good look at Jesus. You want to see, hey, the attributes of God? Look at Jesus. You want to know how God deals with people? Look at how Jesus deals with people. You want to see what God does and how God cares? And hey, what God, hey, look at Jesus. He's the sure essence of God. Amen. He's real, man. He's real in his self-existence. He's real in his sure essence. Let me say this. He's real as in he's the sacrifice that is efficacious. You say, that's a big word. That word efficacious, it's a Bible word, but it's what it means. It means it's effective. He's the sacrifice that is effective. He said there in Hebrews chapter number 1 and verse number 3, he said, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and the upholding of all things by the word of his power. Watch this. When he had by himself purged our sins. Did you get that? He by himself purged our sins. You said the Romans nailed him to the cross. Yeah, they nailed him to the cross. You say the Jews, denied him and turned him over to the Romans to nail him to the cross. You're right. You say it was my sins that put him on the cross. Hey, partly you're right. But I want to remind you what Isaiah chapter 53, he said it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to put Jesus Christ on a cross. I want to say when he put him there, it was no accident. And when I say when he put him there, it was no partial fulfillment. When Jesus Christ died on the old rugged cross, I want to say he paid for your sins and my sins. He became the sacrifice that was looked for. He was the sinless, spotless one, that we needed, to die for us. And let me say, that word effective means he is the means of having a desired result or effect. I'm saying he's the atonement that only could pay for our sins. I'm saying Jesus Christ is the only atonement. I'm saying this, there's a lot of people that thinks they've got to trust Jesus, but they've got to do good. Hey, let me ask you a question this morning. How good would you have to be to get in heaven? And how bad would you have to... I'm just trying to help you this morning. Hey, if you think you're going to heaven because you're trusting Jesus and your good works, you're going to hell. I'm just trying to help you. Hey, it's by grace that we're saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's Ephesians 2:8-9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Let me say, when Jesus died on the cross, he cried out, it is finished. He didn't say it was started. He didn't say, hey, I got a good head start on it. Y'all finish it out. No, Jesus said it's finished. In other words, the plan's complete. Redemption's paid for. Hey, the price has been paid in full. He's the sacrifice that is efficacious or effective. There is no other sacrifice that'll touch Jesus. Some people think that, well, I gotta give up this, and they think they gotta offer sacrifices. Some people think, well, I gotta give a certain amount. I gotta do this. I gotta. No, what you gotta do is trust the sacrifice that's already been given. God provided himself a lamb. That's what he said. He told Abram in Genesis 22, he said, God will provide himself a lamb. And in John chapter number 1, John the Baptist looking down the road one day and he told the fellows with him, he said, behold, the Lamb of God taketh away the sins of the world. Hey, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is the sacrifice that pleases God. Hey, and he's the only sacrifice that is effective to satisfy a holy God for your sins and mine. So I'm saying he's real in his self-existence. He's real in his sure essence. He's real in his sacrifice that's effective or efficacious. And let me say this. He's real as in he's a sovereign that's enthroned. He's a sovereign that's in there. Right there in chapter number 1 of Hebrews, he said this. He said, and he, after he said, when he had set, he, when he had by himself purged our sins, he said, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You want to know where Jesus is this morning? He's at the right hand of the majesty on high. He's at the throne room, amen. Verse 4 of Hebrews, he goes on and says, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. He said in verse 5, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. You don't worship an angel, amen. He's talking about the deity of Christ and the supremacy of Christ over the angels, because Christ is sitting at the throne. He's enthroned, amen. He says in verse 7, he said, the angels, he said, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Verse 8, Hebrews 1, he said, but unto the Son, that is Jesus, but unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. I'm saying Jesus Christ is the rightfully enthroned one. Hey, he is the one that's enthroned on the throne. Hey, Jesus Christ, it's his throne, amen. I'm telling you this morning, hey, somebody's got that little thing going around social network. It don't matter who's the president. Jesus is still king, amen. Amen. Thank God Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords, and he's the King of Kings. And one day he's coming back, and he's going to set up his kingdom right here on planet Earth. Whether you like it, or Obama likes it, or anybody likes it, or you don't like it, Jesus Christ is king, amen. And he's coming back one day. So I'm saying that, hey, he's the sovereign that's enthroned, amen. Let me say this. He's steadfastly eternal. I could go back to verse 6 where he said he must believe that he is. Not that he used to be, that he is. I thank God the circumstances of life may change. My friends may change. Hey, feelings may change. Are y'all with me? Y'all, how many said friends come and go? Fair weather friends. Hey, jobs come and go. Circumstances of life, man, politics and things. Hey, things change. But we serve a God who's yesterday, hey, today and forever, he's always the same. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday. Hey, he said over in Malachi, he said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, your sons of Jacob are not concerned. He changes not. There's no variableness in him. We've talked about that in days gone by. But watch what he said in verse 12 of chapter number 1. He said he's talking about how that the earth's going to be changed. In verse number 11, he said, they shall perish, but thou remainest. Thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment. He's talking about the heavens. They're going to wax old. They're going to be changed. In verse 12, he said, as a vesture, hey, shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. I'll tell you, one of these days, heaven and earth's going to pass away. Hey, but God and God's word's not going anywhere. Hey, heaven and earth's going to change. God's going to destroy this earth by fire. He's going to make a new earth and a new heaven. But hey, honey, God ain't going nowhere. Hey, you can't destroy God with all the nuclear bombs in the world. You can't destroy God with all the hate. You can't destroy God no matter how you try. God ain't going nowhere, honey. He's here to stay, and he ain't changing for you. He ain't changing for the government. He ain't changing for some watered-down religion. He ain't changing. Hey, listen, he ain't changing for the Muslims. He ain't changing for the Jehovah's Witnesses. He ain't changing for the Mormons. He ain't even changing for the independent fundamental. Hey, everybody think they got it all right, Baptist, amen. God is God, and he ain't changing for you. Amen. I thank God for a God that's steadfastly eternal. He's always the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same tomorrow. He's going to be the same next week as he was this morning. Hey, I got up and talked to him this morning. He was the same way he was yesterday. He don't change, amen. He said over in chapter 12 of Hebrews, he said in verse number 2, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The author, that is, he got it all started. He's the beginner. Hey, but not only is he the author, but hey, he's the finisher. That is, he's the completer, the consummator. Hey, he don't just start the job. He finishes it because he's here and he's here to stay. Don't get too happy about it or nothing, but you serve a God that's always the same. Amen. I promise you, you're going to get around some friends and some people you put confidence in, and there's going to be people that fails you. Hey, this preacher, it may even at times, hey, hurt your feelings and disappoint you. And you may look at your preacher and say, well, I can't believe. I thought, hey, but look up in here. There's a God in heaven, hey, man. When this preacher's, hey, gone, when this preacher's, hey, 6 feet down and 10 toes up, there's a God in heaven that's never going to let you down. There's a God in heaven that's not going to change. There's a God in heaven that is no variableness in him. Amen. Amen. You ought to rejoice in the fact. Well, he said, you must believe that he is. Let me say that he is real. But let me say this. Man, I'm getting wound up. Believe that he's real. Believe that he's real. But let me say this. He didn't just say believe that he's real. He said must believe that he is. And, you see that and in there? And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Yeah. There's a lot of people that's got warped views of God. I mean, they do. People have views of God. They base their view of God on their background, where they grew up, their culture, maybe even religious upbringings. It has a lot to do with different avenues in our life that we've gone through, and people got different views of God, who God is. Some people view God as a Santa Claus. I mean, some people's view of God is that, hey, every time I need something, I just run to God, and he's got like a big bag, and he's just dishing it out. Are y'all with me? And that's the only time they talk to God. They think, whoop, I'm going to be a good boy today. God, I need, gimme. And that's their view of God. Then some people got a view of God as he's a strict judge, and he's sitting there and he's got his gavel out and he's just waiting on you to mess up so he can slap you upside the head. I mean, we need a balanced view of who God is. I mean, some people have the idea that, you know, God's like grandpa. You know, I mean, really, I'm just, hey, some people have a twisted, if you will, view of God. It's a biased view. It's based upon how, you know, they grew up or how their religion has taught them growing up. But I'm going to say, when you get into the Bible, you'll find out some things about God. You can find a balanced view. And let me say, you can know the God of heaven. And I'm not just talking about knowing him in salvation, because that's salvation. I've told you all this before. Salvation is not the finish, that's the start. Are y'all with me in the Christian life? You get saved, you trust Christ, and that's the beginning of a brand new life. If a baby's born, listen, hey, if a baby's born and you say, well, that's my baby, and never touch him again, never feed him, and he never grows, something's wrong. But when a baby's born, you expect that baby to grow. You expect him to learn. You expect him to, hey, grow up. In the same way in the Christian life, man. Hey, you trust Jesus Christ. You come to know him as your personal Lord and Savior. Hey, but then it's your responsibility to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you get in this book and you'll find out some things about God. And let me say, he tells us something right here. He said, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and watch this, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I want to say, not only is God real, but you must believe that he's a rewarder. Now, that's not the Santa Claus idea. A rewarder is somebody who will give somebody their wages. You earn wages. How many of y'all go to work? You go to work through the week, and at the end of the week, hey, how many of y'all got your hand out saying, gimme, gimme, gimme? If you don't, I don't know what you work for, amen. Hey, I never wanted to go to work that I didn't want something for. Are y'all with me? Hey, listen, when you come to God and please him by having faith, God said he's going to reward you. It may not always be money. It may not always be financial. But God has ways of rewarding this year. And he said we must believe that he's a reward. Let me say this. Hey, to the sinner, he offers pardon. He rewards you, hey, a pardon of sin. Amen. You come to him by faith and trust the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Hey, you say, I'm trusting in him and him alone. I'm turning to Christ for my salvation. Hey, the reward is pardon, salvation. Don't get too excited about it, but if you're saved, he's pardoning you from your sin. You'll never give an account for him, past, present, or future. Amen? He offers pardon. He offers peace. Let me say, there is a peace that passes all understanding. Let me say, there's a peace that this world don't know. It's not the world's peace. Jesus said, my peace I give. Not as the world giveth, he said, give I thee. It's my peace, he said. Hey, there's peace. He offers peace. Let me say this. He has his presence that he offers. Amen. I was reading over there this morning. I was reading over in Exodus, my daily devotions this morning. I was reading over in Exodus chapter number 32, 33, and 34 right in there. And I was reading how God promised that his presence was going to be with Israel, with Moses. And Moses said, hey, if your presence goes not with us, we're not going, is basically what he said. Hey, we got to have your presence, God. Hey, let me say to those that seek him, hey, he offers his presence. Hey, hey, you've got the person of the Holy Spirit living within you. Hey, but for those that seek him and put aside the cares of the world and put aside the distractions and seek him and seek him with a whole heart and with a clean heart and a pure heart, hey, I promise you, every once in a while, he'll just reveal his tangible presence and you won't have to wonder, hey, did God pass by? You won't have to wonder about was it in the song that sang 15 times. Hey, you'll know it's God, because when God comes by, you won't mistake him for no other. Amen. I thank him for the peace that he offers. I'm talking about a reward of his presence. And then, hey, he'll give you the promises. Amen. I mean, you know, you got a book here full of great and precious promises. And let me say this. He's given us a great promise, hey, of his personal return one day. Jesus told him over in John chapter number 14, he said, if I go away, and guess what? Anybody seen him walking around lately? He went away. Hey, he went away. And he said, and if I go away, he said, I will come again. Hey, guess what? He's coming. Hey, just like he said he was. You say, well, that was 2,000 years ago. He's coming. He's coming. So what I'm saying is, hey, there's great rewards. Let me say something about him being a reward. Let me say something, what kind of reward he is. What kind of rewarder is he, preacher? Let me say this. He's a promised rewarder. He's a promised reward. He said here in verse number 6, he said, believe that he is and that he is. He didn't say he might be. He didn't say he's trying to be. He didn't say he's thinking about me. He said that he is a rewarder. He is a rewarder. I thank God he is a rewarder. I like that is word. Man, a lot of people was. He didn't say he was a rewarder. He said he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hey, watch. Go back, flip back with me to chapter 10, just right before chapter 11 and chapter number 10 and verse number 35. The writer's writing to these Jewish converts. I mean, they're like you and me. They're prone to wander, prone to stray. They're prone to doubt. And watch what he says to them in verse number 35. He said this. He said, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. In other words, you got a reward coming. In verse number 36, he said, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive what? The promise. Hey, there's the promise, amen. I'm saying there's the promise of reward. You say, well, preacher, I hadn't maybe received my promises yet. Let me say, God is a promise for reward. And let me say, the Bible says God cannot lie. Y'all all right? Hey, let me say, if God promises a reward, he's going to reward you. Amen. He's going to reward you. If he promised you a home in heaven, you're going to have a home in heaven. Hey, if he promised you peace, he's going to give you peace. Whatever the promise may be that you get from his word, hey, and you're trusting him and you've got faith in him and you're just, hey, you must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. He's a promised rewarder. He's promised to reward his children, amen. You know, he promised those Israelites there in Egypt. You know, he told Moses, he said, I'm going to pull you out and y'all coming out of there. And he told Moses, he said, hey, I got a land for you. Now, they doubted. They didn't trust him. Are y'all with me? They doubted. And so that generation, they never saw the what land? What do y'all call it? The promised land. They were a generation of doubters. They didn't go. Only ones went over there was Joshua and Caleb. And then the next generation, Joshua took them, and they went to the promised land. I'm telling you, God's got a promised land for you. Amen. God's got a promised land for you. I'm not preaching peace, prosperity, health, wealth, and all that garbage. Hey, I'm preaching you the Bible. God has some blessings for you in the spirit-filled Christian life that if you'll trust him and you'll obey him and you'll walk with him, he's got some rewards he's promised you. He's a promised rewarder. But let me say this. Not only is he a promised rewarder, he's a proven rewarder. You say proven? How you know? Well, hold on with me. Look, I want you to look with me. Here in verse number 2, he's talking about faith, and he says, for by it, in verse number 2, he said, for by it the elders obtained a good report. See that word report? That's like a witness. That's like they got a good testimony. They got a good report. Look in verse number 4. He said, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained what? Witness. That he would. In other words, hey, somebody knows about it. Verse number 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. Hey, for before, he said, before his translation, he had this what? Testimony. Somebody knew, hey, that he pleased God. Somebody knew about his testimony. Look over at verse number 33. I believe it's 33. Maybe it's 39. And these all, he gives a whole list right here. I could take the time and read Hebrews chapter number 11. But Hebrews chapter number 11, it's what we call the hall of fame of faith, or the hall of faith. It's a roll call of faith. He goes down through, he starts out with Abel in verse 4. He talks about Abel. He talks about Enoch. He talks about Noah. He talks about Abraham. He talks about Sarah. He talks about Isaac and Esau and Jacob and the ones that, hey, he talks about Joseph. He talks about Moses. He talks about different ones all throughout the history of Israel, and how he even talks about Rahab the harlot. By faith, she pleased God. In Hebrews chapter number 11, it's a hall of faith, or a roll call of those that had faith in God, and it is a witness, it is a testimony to you and I of those that trusted God, and God rewarded them for their faith. And he talks about, by faith Moses, verse 23. Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, verse 24, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. The reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is what? Remember, I told you, faith allows you to see things that others don't see. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, watch now, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. I'm talking about there's a reward for your faith. Hey, they didn't go through the Red Sea. Hey, I heard a story about a little boy that went to Sunday school one day, and he come back home, and his mama asked him, said, "What'd you learn about in Sunday school?" She said, "Man," she said, I learned about this guy named Moses, and he went down to this place called Egypt, and he told Pharaoh, the king, to set free a couple million people." And he said, finally, he said, after a lot of things happened, he talked about how Moses took him a couple million people, and they was traveling through the desert. And he said, they come up on the Red Sea, and they didn't have no way of getting around. He said, they looked behind them, and he said, the Egyptians and their armies was coming back, and they was coming after them. And he said, man, he said, we learned about how, hey, Moses got together, and he called some engineers. And he said, they got together, and they developed these plans, and they got these beams, and they built this big old bridge. And they got this bridge going up, and he said, they built some airplanes, and they said they had these airplanes flying around, and they was shooting at the Egyptians and causing them to go off course and not come after them. He said, and them airplanes kept everybody safe so they could get across that bridge. And he said, as soon as they got across that bridge, he said, they put dynamite on it and blowed it up so that, hey, the Pharaoh couldn't come across that bridge. And his mama said, hold on, son, stop. She said, that ain't right. That ain't in the Bible. She said, is that what you really learned in Sunday school? He said, no, Mom, but you wouldn't believe the way they said it happened. You know how it happened? Hey, God told Moses, hold your rod out. And God parted the walls of water, and they walked across on dry land. Hey, you wouldn't believe the way they said it happened. That's faith. They went across the Red Sea by faith. There was a reward. Verse 39. I got to hurry. I know I do. Verse 39, he said, and these all, in other words, he goes through a whole list of them. He talks about in verse 32, Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, David and Samuel and all the prophets. He said, who through faith, what did they do? They subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. Stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight. He turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and in prison, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tempted, of whom the world was not worthy. He's giving you a whole list of people who walked by faith and trusted God, and God rewarded their faith. Look at verse 39. He said, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise there of the Messiah. In other words, those Old Testament saints, they didn't even see the Messiah, but they received some rewards. You and I, we know the Messiah is Jesus Christ. But hey, the word there is report. He said it here several times through this chapter. He's used the word report. He's used the word witness. He's used the word testimony. And he's saying that everybody here, and he's mentioned in Hebrews chapter number 11, they're all witnesses. They're proof. They are evidence that God is a proven rewarder of those that walk by faith. Are you with me? You say, well, will God reward faith? Read Hebrews chapter 11. There is what we call proof in the pudding, honey. He's a promised rewarder. He's a proven rewarder. Let me say this. He's a particular rewarder. He's a particular rewarder. Watch what he said there in verse 6. He said, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He's real. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, let me just say, everybody, it's not like Little League. You know, you go watch Little League baseball, and everybody gets up to bat. Three outs, and the next one still comes up to bat. When I was growing up, three outs, and you went to the field, amen? But nowadays, it's three outs. No, everybody gets to bat around. Can I say that's ruining America? Can I just say that? Everybody ain't a winner. Everybody don't win. Hey, and used to be, if you won a tournament or you won first place in your division, you got a trophy and a pizza party. Y'all with me? But nowadays, if you played, you get a pizza party and a trophy. You get a participation trophy. If you lost, you're a loser. Amen? I know a lot about it. Trust me. When I played football in high school, my senior year, we won one game. We lost nine games. They never come across and patted us on the back and said, hey, y'all are some awesome losers. No, you're a loser. Work harder. Try harder next time. So we're saying, he's a particular rewarder. Everybody, I've said this before, everybody's not going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you hadn't done well and hadn't been faithful, you're not going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful. That makes sense? God ain't giving everybody a trophy and a pizza party. He's particular. You say, what are you saying, preacher? This is what he said. He said, them that diligently seek him. Now, I want to say that them that diligently seek him, that's not a flippant one time, say a prayer and trust Christ, so all of a sudden he's going to reward. No, that is them that diligently seek him. That means not everyone's rewarded. That means that word diligently seek him, it means to inquire after or to search out and to investigate. Y'all know what a detective does. A detective investigates and he watches. And he seeks out so that he can find the truth. Y'all with me? Hey, he's talking about somebody that seeks out, they study, they investigate, they are craving, they demand, they worship, and they seek after carefully this God. Let me say that. That is not just the average run-of-the-mill. Now, I'm not talking about your salvation, amen. Are y'all with me? Don't y'all confuse me. I'm telling you what the Bible says. He said he must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Did you play hide and go seek? How many of y'all played hide and go seek? When I was a kid, we played hide and go seek. I liked hiding, but I hated that seeking. You'd have to go over to the tree, put your hands on your eyes, count to 100 now. 1, 2, skip a few, 99, 100. And you turn around and try to catch them in the middle of the run where they're hiding. But no, you get done counting. And you'd go out there and you might find three or four. Somebody's giggling over here in the bushes. Somebody, and you'd find them. But there's always seemed like there's one. Y'all with me? Seemed like there's always one that just knew where to hide. You couldn't find them. Hey, that diligently seek them, that's that one that don't give up. That's that one that he don't say, all right, I can't find him. Let's just go to the next person. We'll find him later. No, that diligently seek him, he keeps looking. He keeps searching. He keeps investigating. He's looking. Where's he at? I want to know more about him. You know that song number 6 in the red book, I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. Hey, he's seeking him. He said he believes that he's real, but he said, I believe he's a rewarder. And if I'll seek after him, Brother Wayne, he's got some things for me. He's got some blessings for my life. And so I'm just going to keep seeking. And not just looking around once in a while, but I'm diligently seeking. Hey, y'all seen him? He's real, but hey, he's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. But I'm going to just remind you, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How hard are you seeking him? You seeking after him with your whole heart? Hey, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Hey, are you seeking him with your whole heart? I'm talking about the possibility of pleasing him. You can please God, but the way to please him is to believe that he is and believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith enables us to please God. Are you pleasing God this morning? The pianist is coming. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. We're standing all across the auditorium. If God spoke to your heart this morning, you'll be obedient as the Lord leads you. The altar's open. If you need pray, if you need to be saved, whatever you need, the altar's open. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, we thank you. God, thank you for this time in your word. Thank you for the precious promises of the word of God. Thank you most of all for Jesus and all you mean to us and all you are for us. I pray you'd help us have your will and way in this invitation time. Speak to hearts and lives. Help us to be obedient to the word of God. I pray if there be anybody here this morning that's lost, God, speak to their heart and save them, I pray, God, before it be everlasting too late. Have your will and way now. Encourage Christians and help us in Jesus' name. Amen.